Morning, everyone. Let's start with the Real Estate Economic Development and Budget and Finance Joint Committee. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chair Shaw and Directors Avila, Geisler, Jenkins, Rath, and Kilkenny are present. Vice Chair Russell and Directors Vasquez and Robinson are excused.
Excellent. Item two, non-agenda public comment.
There are none.
Excellent. Item three, disclosures, ex parte communications. Seeing no hands go up, I'll take it as a no. Item four, potential agenda items for board discussion. Again, no one. Item five is the consent agenda. It's the approval of minutes from May 9th last year, 2018. Yes. We have a motion and a second. Can we vote?
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Item six is Neighborhood Parking Program Mid-Year Status Update. Mr. Verdigo, you have the mic.
Good morning. Ben Verdigo, Senior Project Manager, Parking and Mobility. Here with the requested action at the Real Estate and Economic Development and Budget Finance Joint Committee receives a presentation on the mid-year status of the Neighborhood Parking Program for July 1st, 2018 through December 31st, 2018. The fiscal year 2019 Downtown Community Parking District allocated $1.75 million in parking funds to the NPP, of which Little Italy, Gassamp Quarter, East Village, and Columbia neighborhoods requested allocations. Expenses incurred for the first 6 months ending December 31st, 2018 were as follows. Little Italy at $260,000, representing 43% of the FY19 budget of $600,000. Gassamp Quarter at $198,000, representing 44% of the FY19 budget of $453,000. East Village Association at $76,000, representing 19% of the FY19 budget of $398,000. And Columbia, no expenses were incurred. Today I have four neighborhood associations here, Little Italy, Gassamp Quarter, East Village, and Columbia. We're going to start with Michael Trimble of Gassamp Quarter Association, followed by Dora McCann Guerrero with East Village, and then followed by, Sean Warner with Downtown San Diego Partnership on behalf of Columbia Community Foundation. But I do want to note that staff, as well as neighborhood associations, are able to answer any questions you may have, followed by once each individual program presents, they can answer questions at that time.
Good morning. Opportunity to share the progress of the Gassamp Quarter Association has made in the FY19 Neighborhood Parking Program. My name is Michael Trimble. I'm the Executive Director of the Gassamp Quarter Association. It's my privilege to present our year-to-date results. The FY19 plan. Let's see, move it forward.
Is it the space bar?
Space bar. The FY19 plan is broken into four specific projects: the Fifth Avenue Active Loading Zone, Wayfinding, Parking Promotion for Park It On Market and 6th and K Parking Garages, and the Fifth Avenue Master Plan. So these are the areas we're focusing on for FY19. Our year-to-date progress overall, as Ben said, we're 44% of our budget, with a balance of $229,254 remaining collectively. The first project is the Fifth Avenue Active Loading Zone. The project began in 2017 as a pilot program to eliminate the parking on Fifth Avenue from Broadway to L Street, Friday and Saturday nights from 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. The goal of this program was to ease traffic congestion on Fifth Avenue by removing parked vehicles. This would allow traffic to flow more freely without gridlock due to double parking. It would also encourage more rideshare, taxi, and alternative forms of transportation and the ability to drop off and pick up more easily. Most importantly, it would provide police, fire, and emergency personnel the ability to navigate more freely from one incident to the next without delay. The program became permanent on September 1st, 2018. The GQA continued to support the public awareness program and the weekly supplementation of additional signage to make the public aware of the no parking zone. With the addition of the supplemental signage, the number of tows had reduced significantly. This spring, the implementation of the pay and display parking meters, we feel that it will close the loop on the project by eliminating the single space meters. So parkers will have to visit the pay and display to purchase parking, and we'll see it will be a no parking zone, thus cutting down on towing even further in the future. An added benefit of the installation of pay and display will free up much needed space on our already overcrowded sidewalks on Fifth Avenue. We are currently over budget by $10,609 due to the fact that the supplemental signage costs have increased due to lost or stolen signage and increased labor costs. The pay and display will eliminate the need for supplemental signage in FY20. We'll be pulling money out of program management to supplement the overage on Fifth Avenue nighttime active loading zone. Okay, the parking promotion. The Gaslamp Quarter has been tasked to promote the 6th and K Parkade and Park It on Market. The goal of the parking promotion through FY19 is to maintain relevance and increase the saturation through ongoing and consistent promotion and advertising. As San Diego residents become more familiar with this concept, the GQA will seek to maintain relevance through ongoing community outreach for participating businesses to continue offering compelling and exciting partner offers. Renewed posters, kiosk full panel ads, flyers, and distributed on-site for the fall promotion. We've also moved more toward the digital campaign so we can have more quantifiable results to bring back to ACE Parking and Civic San Diego. These are some of our preliminary results in regards to the UTM Pacific magazine in terms of impressions and click-throughs and clicks. So this is just July through December 2018. And on the right-hand side, you could see one of the sponsored paid ads that this was used for. Also, social media branded content, July through December 2018. You could see some of the click-through rates and some of the reach for the parking program. We also started doing e-blasts, which have been very, very helpful and has generated a lot of interest for additional parking at the two garages. We've also moved into doing more Google AdWord campaigns directly targeting parkers in the local area, 25 miles radius from between 25 years of age and 65 years of age. So you can see the down on the bottom left, that's the point of the Park and Discover AdWord campaigns. Also, you can see some of the eBlast creative. Our creative campaign this year is called Park and Discover. And so we're really pushing those two garages and utilizing Gaslamp Quarter as the ability to drive more people downtown, and our member businesses are supporting that. Currently, the budget for this was $253,000. We're available balance we have remaining is $129,438. Okay, our wayfinding project. Wayfinding project began in FY18 has carried over into FY19 with the creation of the new wayfinding historic street signage. Replacing the 30-year-old old and outdated brown signage, we also installed inlaid wayfinding plaques in the specific high traffic areas. To date, we are approximately 65% complete. We will replace all the signs. We had replaced all the signs that are existing with existing poles, and in FY20 we'll finish the job with installation of new poles and signage. We also completed in FY19 the upgrade to the Gaslamp Quarter logo in the center of 5th and Market. This logo has been created 15 years ago, was faded, and needed a facelift. We were able to complete this project and increase the size of the logo by doubling the size, further branding the historic district. And I have a little something for you guys to see here. Yeah. We're like in the gas line, we do things flashy, so I wanted to make sure you guys could see that. So, all right. Oops. Do that again. Sorry. Okay, and then the wayfinding budget, we do have a supplement overage. We have some funds available that we might be moving into another category, which will probably be the Fifth Avenue Master Plan. The Fifth Avenue is downtown's historic Main Street and the main corridor for the Premier and Dining District. With millions of annual visitors, Fifth Avenue is well-known and award-winning public space. The primary objective of the Fifth Avenue Master Plan is to create a north-south linkage in the heart of the Gaslamp Quarter through the reclamation of underutilized public right-of-way and innovative design. The innovative, comprehensive, and sustainable streetscape design places an emphasis on non-motorized methods of circulation and will create a direct connection between both San Diego Convention Center, Petco Park in the south, with the Civic Core to the north. As pedestrian boulevard that supports and encourages increased use of public realm, Fifth Avenue Master Plan seeks to revive local visitorship from the emerging East Village and Marina districts, as well as to excite and entice tourists to experience all that Gaslamp has to offer. In doing so, the new Gaslamp Promenade will position itself to meet social and recreation needs of the growing San Diego community, as well as establish itself as a world-class destination. An RFP was sent out in August, and Carrier Johnson Plus Culture was selected. We have a steering committee that reviews all the project's performance and makes recommendations. Our next steps are take it on the road. Today we're meeting with Chris Ward and to present this plan to him. So I'm going to give you guys a little taste of what that plan looks like. So currently what we're planning to do, we're presenting, is to turn Fifth Avenue into a pedestrian promenade. We would not be eliminating through traffic, but we would be limiting it to certain hours during the day, keeping major cross streets open for the traffic flow and the traffic pattern to continue. So the street width is 80-foot flush pedestrian promenade along the entire length of Fifth Avenue with elevated intersections, a paving pattern towards the center of the promenade, and the gradient towards from L Street to Broadway. We'd be adding more trees and more gas lamps and making them more consistent up and down the street. We're requesting the permanent closure of E Street and the island between 4th and 6th Avenue. So these are some of the renderings I wanted to share with you guys. This is 5th Avenue and J Street before, and 5th Avenue and J Street after. This is 5th Avenue and E Street before and after, including E Street towards the linkage of the campus at Horton. We have a detailed budget that has been created by Carrier Johnson and has been vetted through numerous agencies, so it's actually a project that is most likely attainable. Currently, we budgeted $75,000 for the first study with Carrier Johnson that was completed, and we are looking to add additional funding to keep the project moving forward. There are a few other items that we are going to be working on for the remainder of 2019, which is the immediate action for city and public outreach, the presentation of the current design. We're doing a traffic study to review street closures, traffic patterns, and emergency vehicle lanes, an environmental consultant study, and a downtown EIR consultant will reach out to the consultants to get approximate estimates. We see this as a 5 to 8 year plan, you know, with a price tag currently of $20 million. So that is our mid-year update for the Gaslamp Quarter Association. We have some aggressive goals, and we're very committed to taking Gaslamp to the next level. And so far, the people that we've presented this to have been very receptive. So I'm here to answer any questions that you guys might have.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Village Association.
Good afternoon. I'm Dora McCann-Guerrero, with Executive Director with the East Village Association, presenting our mid-year parking budget and review. One of the, just to kind of set the context, which I'm sure you all are aware of, the East Village footprint is the green footprint. So we have 130 blocks in our footprint as compared to, sorry, Mike, about 30 blocks in his footprint. So oftentimes when we do approach capital projects or any improvements, it comes with that type of cost increase, as well as, you know, some trying to keep the northern part of the neighborhood happy while complementing the build out in the south side. Also, as you see, we are here very often for a lot of the residential growth patterns that are happening in East Village, which we have a projected number about 15 to 20,000 residents today, which will be up to about 40,000 residents in the next two to three years. Currently, East Village is going undergoing an economic impact statement, so we'll be able to quantify these numbers holistically with you, just for working knowledge, and as, again, with these larger capital projects, how the neighborhood's building out and when's the appropriate time to roll out some of the programs like wayfinding. Obviously, Village Green is going to be near and dear in our heart of a four acre park, but until they break ground, there's nothing to demonstrate to tourists and residents where the East Village Green Park is going to be placed. So just kind of setting the stage with some of, not challenges, but some of the differences that East Village Association currently has. Some of our successes for this past year, we have continued the Do the Right Thing campaign, which is, you see the cartoon figures, was designed specifically to encourage some of the younger generation to start getting used to biking and alternative mobility options, such as transit options, MTS. We sponsored for the first time the inaugural Bike to Work Day program. It was in the morning, very early, but we have a great entertainment yard with live music, a beer garden, coffee, and such. So we're working with Sandag to see if we can do a post-after-work event from 4 to 6 that would probably get a lot more of attention of the bikers coming home from the day that might be ready for a beer then. But don't drink and bike. The other thing we did for the first time is a Padres Summer Bike Valet program. And so if you go to any Padres games during the summer on the weekends, we sponsor basically a lock and ride program that riders are able to drop their bikes there, lock them up, and have on-site security just to make sure that their bikes are kept safe during the duration of the game. The program did well for the people and for the usership that knew it was there, but working with the Padres pretty aggressively now that we have all the our hardware in place to make sure that we can expand the attention to it, also including some of our other partners like Circulate San Diego, San Diego Bike Coalition. We did reduce the Fred sponsorship program by one vehicle, and you'll see the reasons why. We were a little bit more ambitious in what we wanted to try to achieve and how to move monies around. Mobility pamphlet, which I have a few if you guys are interested in seeing. This is always a good success story for us, again, with 130 foot block footprint, as well as a lot of educational facilities, about 10 plus in our neighborhood. Again, the type of mode of transit is a little bit different. So in here we include MTS, we include all the dockless bike shares, Compass Cloud, but any type of mobility option that a rider would want is in this pamphlet. Of course, has to be updated because the dockless bike conversation is always a moving target. But we do pass this out at all of our public events, including board meetings monthly. And then we have improved our parking management. This means implementation of diagonal striping. You can see this in front of the 10 Barrel Brewery, which has, I think, allowed for about four or five additional parking spaces instead of the traditional parallel. Traffic calming measures, as the south side of our neighborhood is building out, because there was probably nothing there, what, a year and a half ago? And now we have about 4 to 5 residential towers right in that footprint. We've been working with Ben and the civic team to incorporate stop signs and, you know, crosswalks and things that previously hadn't been there, just for to increase pedestrian safety. And then parking meter changes. You guys might have heard specifically around Park and Market with the construction and some of the changes to the MTS bus stops. There was no meters there previously, which disallowed for a lot of the flow of people coming into storefront, you know, restaurants, this and that. So that will be changed from an all-day parking to about 2 hours. I do want to give a compliment to Civic, because I know that they've spent a lot of time and effort into looking into the East Village footprint. So as we have these asks, we want to continue work with Ben to also make sure that we can try to contribute to some of the funding and quicker implementation. So again, here's just a visual, our free ride wrap. The bottom left is our bike to work day. Also, our partnerships with MTS has increased significantly, that we provide different parking options on their kiosk and bus wraps and different activities. And then as well in the upper right hand corner is the Bike Padres Bike Valet program. So this is the real question. Why are we so under budgeted? We are about 19% of what we budgeted out. Again, the supplemental program number is way under because that's our implementation. And again, the next slide will tell you all the projects we try to get off the ground but haven't been successful as of yet. The marketing budget is, we're right on track. The marketing is things like the transit map, Do the Ride Thing program, our partnerships with MTS, Bike to Work, and then working directly with San Diego Bike Coalition to have a successful Urban Sites Bites and Bike Tours. So people coming to San Diego, whether you're a visitor, tourist, or even a resident, can go on predestined routes to visit our local attractions while also knowing it's okay to bike in downtown. Initiatives and projects, again, you'll see this in the next slide. And then program administration is over budgeted. And the reason is in this year, specifically this past year, I don't want to call them failures because I don't want to take them off the table yet, but we've had challenges in trying to implement or move forward some of these projects, that a large swath of these projects are what we had budgeted for this year. Where we are in our employee parking program, we had selected tailgate parking lot, worked with the Padres and Ace Parking Management, and their initial response that is, we just didn't have the right type of analysis to understand what type of pricing structure we provide, hours of service, and is it even the right thing to have a fixed route service from Fred to take you from the tailgate parking lot on the south side of our neighborhood to a central destination for both East Village and Gaslamp employees. Padres also internally have other conversations in terms of that specific parking lot. So they've asked me respectfully to put this idea on hold specifically for that parking lot. We were looking at the intersection mural at Park and Market, went through a lot of city conversations, elevated it pretty high. The reason we chose Park and Market, again, a lot of reasons, but it plays right into, it's our largest crime area, unfortunately, drugs activity. It's also where the MTS bus stop is. It's one of the largest pedestrian crossings. It's where construction is. We thought it'd be perfect, but the city traffic engineer is only looking at projects that cross over 2 lanes of traffic and not the 4, as was identified at this intersection. But we're all eagerly watching Hillcrest, who wants to cross over 3, to see if there could be flexibility in the future as to where intersection murals can be placed. Smart Cities Partnership, we had been working with the city pretty aggressively to try to implement technology that would allow our any resident or visitor to have an electronic one-stop app to figure out where parking options are available by using sensor technology. The sensor technology is in place on 10th Avenue right now. Actually, at 1 o'clock, we have a call with the National Smart Cities Coalition to try to further this. But currently, the city staff for this project has changed. And so we're just waiting for the right designation, the right city staff to pick up those conversations again. And then we also looked and thought we would have it launched by January, a dedicated shuttle service from Petco Park to the northern part of East Village. A lot of the people that go to Petco Park games, even though they're residents, they think it's too far to walk, you know, 20 blocks, 30 blocks. So we were looking at providing a shuttle service back and forth. However, the Padres were looking to perhaps purchase their own fleet. So they have to do more analysis on fleet management and then what insurance looks like outside of the ballpark footprint if they were to undertake this in partnership with us. So this is basically the bulk of why we are currently way under with our, specifically with our supplemental programming and initiatives. Our program administration's up a little bit because all these ideas take a lot of meetings and a lot of analysis and a lot of work. I don't want to take them off of the working roster prioritization possibly for the future, but seems like those are all a no-go for at least the end of this fiscal year. So what are we looking at the end of this fiscal year? What I've discovered is we don't truly have, or East Village has never had, a traditional capital improvement program. So looking at different, not traffic managers, but different engineers, renowned ones, you know, Kimberly Horn across the street is one of them, for example, to see how much this would cost East Village, what we have to put out an RFP, but specifically to try to get a 1 to 5 year plan in place so we can roll out our parking program a little bit more efficiently and also do more, impactful parking programs. We're looking to do inaugural block party banner program, which you see on the right-hand side. We'll have a larger transit message, working with MTS again in providing ridership to directly to opening games specifically. Traffic calming mitigation signage from California 94 onto F Street. We discovered, going 80 miles per hour and then having a hard stop directly into a downtown is a little dangerous. I may have personally experienced that. And so where we are on that right now is basically on the offset of any flashing beacon, where would it fall on? Would it be on Caltrans land? Would it be on city land? And based on that, then the conversation says, do we move the flashing beacon down a little bit more to be on city land and work with you all for a traffic signalization program there. But again, those are all working conversations. We're currently moving with the idea of a parklet in front of Courtyard on 13th and Market Street. Again, this is where our traffic section or traffic intramural or mural intersection was denied, but that's still a really blight area and we want to activate it. So we think we have a really good project because it's currently just a loading zone right now, and Courtyard would take responsibility for maintenance. We're working now with the San Diego Bike Coalition to create a summer bike event. Last year, we had a lot of success with the Ciclo de Dias bike event, but it obviously moves around neighborhood to neighborhood. So we would like to do an annual summer biking event in the East Village footprint. We're going to start moving ahead on new Do the Right Thing programming and also an artistic bike rack competition. And then lastly, the reason a lot of these programs are kind of moving in different phases is because it's very important for us in the East Village footprint to make sure that we're complementing the development that's going on down there. So, downtown mobility plan, 14th Street Promenade. That is why a summer biking event would be what we think would be very important. So people are aware of what the mobility plans are. They get comfortable riding downtown. And again, trying to get that exposure of alternative transportation means. Wayfinding, we think it's a great idea. We have a lot of great examples by our partners, our other bid partnerships. However, we don't have that much to point people in directions of right now. Petco Park's there, but we're waiting for Fault Line. We're getting a new dog park there. We're waiting for the East Village Green. We have Central Library. So we do have some good civic projects, but I think it would be a better use of time, money, and energies to have a greater comprehensive plan as to what are the specific site selections that visitors and tourists would be interested in finding greater direction. Intersection murals, again, not completely foregoing this idea. There's other areas we've been approached on other ideas that we think would be comprehensive, but still, again, as the neighborhood's evolving, we have to make sure we're making the right choices in the right location. We're waiting for, once we get our CIP in place, the discoverables from there, and so we can make sure that we're allocating our budget a little bit more appropriately with larger capital projects and civic-minded projects versus the one-off of a transit pamphlet. Urban Night Market is coming up, transportation management. So again, East Village will go out with an RFP ideally for an urban night market manager to start working with the build out of 14th Street. 14th Street, the promenade again is going to break ground or scheduled to break ground this summer in front of Albertsons. So the idea would be our market would grow as the growth of 14th Street and the East Village Green Park comes online. And with that means that we will have to work pretty aggressively with the city to make sure that the Padres, for example, their traffic pattern doesn't interfere with the night market, and is this doable for a specific night per week. A lot of the reason we can't do that is we have a lot of ingress egress on the same side of the street in East Village, and then again the Padres traffic management plan sometimes interferes with some of the other corridors that we're able to use or activate at a specific set time and date, or set time of the week and day of the week. And then implementation and education of the pending new parking standards. So if you have my phone on you, you can probably imagine how many phone calls I've already gotten on this. We are very aware, especially as all the buildings are going up, that parking is becoming more and more limited. So I'm kind of forecasting and foreseeing that there will be need. We are excited. We think it would be appropriate to look at some sort of mechanism that we can provide continuing education to new residents that are either interested in living in the East Village community footprint and or are already there. Again, we have buildings going up all the time. We're doing our performance metrics right now. I think our residential or retail is down, or we have a vacancy of retail, what I heard, about 15%, 15-20%. But as you can see, a lot of the lights are off on some of the new buildings. So we want to make sure that we continually attract the residents that we're building for. And again, the new parking standards, I know, is going to come with a lot of heartache for people considering, or for families, and or until we get our grocery stores, which we have two coming online. They're just not there yet. But again, trying to have the foresight into things that we feel will be coming down the pike. And that's all. So a lot of defense, but we're still trying to work through what's the correct project to go at the correct time. And again, working closely with Ben and the civic team as they keep implementing things, which makes my job easy, but it changes some of our budget scope here and there.
Thank you very much. Do we have questions? No?
Do you want a pamphlet?
Sure, not at this time.
I mean, I don't have a flashy video, but.
Next time you will. Ben, who do we have now?
Next, we have Sean Warner with Downtown San Diego Partnership on behalf of Columbia Community Foundation.
Good afternoon. My name is Sean Warner, Director of Community Enhancement for the Downtown San Diego Partnership, which oversees the Columbia Community Foundation. Thank you for the opportunity to share our FY19 projects. Just to back up a little bit, the projects I'll be highlighting this afternoon reflect a community visioning process that was undertaken in early 2018, as well as kind of the mission for Community Parking District funds. And this kind of shows our FY19 budget, which I will get into a little bit more detail on the specific projects outlining that budget. As Ben mentioned, as of December 31st, we have not expended any funds, but by the end of the fiscal year, we expect to expend all funds for the projects I will be discussing. The first one is bicycle scooter racks. This will be in design beginning next month, and we expect to fabricate and install them in fiscal year 20. So these would be custom bike racks located within the Columbia District to encourage alternative modes of transportation, particularly bicycles and now scooters as well. The idea would be kind of unique bike racks that could accommodate both. And we'll be working on, as I said, the design and locations for those. As part of our marketing of neighborhood programs, our mobility marketing program will include distributing postcards, informational postcards to businesses, residents, hotels within the district, just highlighting options for moving or moving within the district as well as getting to and from the district. So that would include FRED, bike share, walking options, and also parking options as well within the district. And sorry, that one, we will be probably releasing that in June. Those will be going out to businesses in June. The next project falls under neighborhood initiatives and special projects. And these are landscape barriers that would be located at intersections along India Street and Columbia Street between Ash and Broadway. There are 16 locations or 16 of these landscape barriers slash planters. The image you see there is a rendering of the style that will be installed. They're weathered steel with branding of the Columbia District. They're about 30 inches tall, 36 inches wide, or 36 inches long, 30 inches wide. And they, like I said, they'll provide a nice buffer between traffic and pedestrians at corner intersections. And those will be scheduled for installation in May. The design has been finalized, and we'll just be working over the next 2 months on installation. And then the final project I wanted to highlight is pole-to-pole lighting, also located along India Street and Columbia between Broadway and Ash. And these will be LED, I call them festoon lighting from pole to pole. They'll be opportunity to change colors for the holidays. They will also provide needed lighting at night for pedestrians along that corridor. And these will be installed in tandem with the landscape barriers I mentioned earlier, and looking at May of 2019 for those. So that was a pretty quick overview of our projects. We've got very excited about seeing these coming to fruition over the next 2 months. I think it'll be a nice, as you know, the Columbia Community Foundation, this is I believe the second year. And so we're starting to form the base of projects. And I think these would be great additions to enhance the pedestrian experience for pedestrians and multimodal in the downtown area, particularly the Columbia District. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you for your report. Any questions? No, you got off easy.
All right. Thank you very much.
And then finally, we have Chris Gomez with Little Italy Association.
Good afternoon, Chris Gomez, Little Italy Association. Sorry for my attendance. I had this meeting at a different time date. So what we're going to do is go over our FY19 projects year to date. Quick summary of our presentation overview is just to kind of talk about the current projects and operations we have, as well as the other initiatives we've launched within our FY19 budget. Currently, we have 6 valet locations and 15 valet staffs that are in compliance with the living wage ordinance, which currently is at $15.41 an hour. Excuse me. In the beginning of the fiscal year, we lost access to the daytime lots at Washington Elementary School, and so the 2-hour Saturday parking program has been canceled. There is not another location that we can utilize during the day in order to subsidize that program and also off-street parking for those days. So the overall concept on that project has been reallocated into the overall budget and other projects. Marketing and promotions, we continue to maintain the Little Italy website parking section to update people on self-park options within Little Italy. It also helps us leverage opportunities to offset our expenses when it comes to lot rentals for the valet program by us working with those owners to promote their self-park option in lieu of them giving us parking spaces for our valet program at no cost to the program itself. And then we also on the website have the Little Italy Valet program and the locations, hours of operation on there. And we produce printed material pieces to promote the program. Our PR firm also works on promoting the places to park when we have special events or any kind of other opportunities where we can get that out there, that Little Italy is not such a bad place to park and there are spaces available. And then we have in-house design. New initiatives and we have on our list for this year were people plazas or parklets, pop-outs and beautification, removable bollard program, City of San Diego insourcing, and standard program management. So the Little Italy Valet program started operation August of 2010. We're currently at $10 a vehicle. The six locations are listed there with the hours of operation. Several of those locations are subsidized by adjacent businesses because they find that it is a benefit to them. And we continually move forward with trying to find more business to help underwrite the program itself so that the subsidy per vehicle goes down. The FY19 results, we've parked 15,500 vehicles since July of 2018. There's 223 cars parked on average per month. And revenue brought in from that program is $169,714. And the comparison from FY18 to FY19 with the year to date is a loss of, decrease in cars parked of 205, but an increase of revenue of $3,707. And currently, the subsidy for the vehicle per vehicle is $12 a car. And what we're looking at, if we were just to utilize the subsidies forecasted for the remaining portion of the year, that actually would go down based on our current numbers to $9 a vehicle. Here is a FY16 to current. I know Gary Smith likes line drawings, so I included this one for you, Gary. It is actually to show a juxtaposition since we've started our valet program back in FY16, the trends of what we're looking at and how you can see seasonally we dip as far as parking vehicles towards the fall winter and peaks in spring summer. So that's kind of a trend here. Blue line is the one we're currently on right now. We are seeing a slight decrease. I think there's with all of the rain this season has kind of created a little bit of havoc for valet and the businesses and people going out. But we also have seen that coincide with larger opportunities for rideshare programs as well as other modes of transportation. So we do see ourselves moving into an uptick moving into the remaining part of the fiscal year. And the red line is FY18, which was last year. And here we show the parking program revenue trends. So again, this is basically the funds that are brought in based on the usage of the thing. We are seeing a down click, but again, that's I think with the seasonal, and we're anticipating that we'll go back up. Again, the Saturday 2-hour parking program was started back in January 2011. It was first 2 hours free and $2 an hour thereafter. We had two locations we had secured at Washington Elementary School. And again, unfortunately, we lost access to those lots during the day. So we had to cancel the program. Marketing and promotions, we are maintaining our website, continuing on with our printed collateral to promote Little Italy and the parking opportunities. And we also have our PR firm facilitating social media pushes, parking initiatives incorporated into TV, radio, and print media, and promoting public spaces for people to park in during special events. New initiatives and special projects, people's plazas, parking conversions, pop-outs, and again, conversions, we've redundant on that, sorry. Complete new pop-out, we just completed the new pop-out at the corner of India and West Cedar Street. It ran over two fiscal years, so the first fiscal year we expended our budget for it. This fiscal year, we went over the line item in that, but we were able to subsidize it by the two-hour parking program being canceled. So we're still within our budget for the year. It is definitely a lot more work than we anticipated, building a pop-out from scratch, as far as us having a project manager to facilitate the project and working with the City of San Diego. The next program we're working on is our removable bollard program, which on this particular project, we have become the trailblazers, and so the City of San Diego and DSD have been using us as the guinea pig. We're currently working with Kettler Lewis and our project managers, Gilead, who have been secured to run these projects and get us through development services. We're currently utilizing, and we're attempting to, through Chris Larson at DSD, using the placemaking ordinance, which would allow us to kind of cut through a lot of the red tape at DSD. We just need the adjacent owners to buy off on the concept and the project. So we're excited to see that we've got substantial support so far to do our phase one, which is West 8th Street. Start construction of phase one is anticipated to start and we're starting within the next month or two, and completion of the project is August of 2019. So we'll be running into two fiscal years on this project, and we'll also be getting some additional funding coming from the City of San Diego, from the mayor's office. We had originally projected this project costing $180,000. It ended up costing $760,000. So yeah, definitely a huge variance in cry. So we're expending our funds this year. We're going to be requesting additional funds next year, and then the city is kicking in, I believe, $250,000 to $300,000 to underwrite the remaining portion. We're working with the city as far as conversions go, parking conversions, meters, additions. Tanner French has been facilitating the laundry list of conversions we've requested over 7 years ago that this body, as well as DPMG and the City of San Diego, have endorsed, which is a conversion of all of our east-west streets to head-in parking, and all of our north-south streets to diagonal, outside of those that are impeding on the mobility plan. So the three that we've gotten completed so far are West Kalmia, West Juniper, and West Fir. Here's some photos of the before and afters of the pop-out conversion on that's outside of Audio Radio Specialist on Cedar and India. And this is the bollard program of phase one of two phases. Phase one will be West Date Street from cul-de-sac to Front Street, with north-south streets remaining open for vehicular access. But because we activate the street on such a frequent basis with our Wednesday market, as well as our Saturday's farmers market and other special events throughout the year, this was our first pull to get the project going. And so this is the phase one that we're working on. And these are just renderings from from Kettler Lewick on our project. It'll be a removable bollard program that will have sleeves that are recessed into the ground to hold a vehicle that will can stop a vehicle that's over 5,000 pounds going 40 miles an hour. So the idea is to have these bollards stored in the public right-of-way in between our trash cans and our receptacles so that we have easy access to them, or if another agency decides to have a special event like Laura McFarlane Group in Little Italy, they're able to use the asset because they are funded by city funds. And it'll only be activated for special event purposes. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Just a really quick question. Thank you for that. You mentioned in-house design in a couple of places. Is that graphic design? Is that landscape design?
It's a graphic design for the printed collateral that we send out. So whether it's social media pushes, we do all of our own work in-house. So just in
that, and then your social media firm just pushes it out.
Correct. Or if we do any kind of printed ad or any kind of marketing material pieces.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other comments? Questions? Great. Appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.
Ben, do you have more? Or are we?
That's it, unless you have questions
done
for me.
Done with us?
I'm done with you,
okay.
Unless you're done with me.
I guess I would just be interested in a more detailed presentation on some of the capital improvement aspects that are proposed here. I don't know, we may not have any final say or authority on with regard to those decisions, but I'd be interested in what those are. And I don't know, we have some people here with some design review experience, so I think that would be helpful to get that in, that those kinds of presentations.
That's a yes? Okay. Director Kilkenny?
Just a quick question or a comment, I guess. We're having kind of a parallel conversation in the city about parking. And it would be interesting, I think, to hear at some point in time how those conversations are affecting this. You know, we got a variety of presentations, some about biking and pedestrian and scooters, and then we got some that were very car-centric, and just how those two conversations are working together or how one's affecting the other. It'd be great to have kind of a more comprehensive conversation about that, or at least presentation.
I agree. There's a lot going on between the mobility plan coming online and losing some parking. And as a parking district, we're tasked to find more parking if that's the preferred option. So that's definitely we can provide that moving forward.
Thanks.
Director Geisler.
On that same note, somebody had mentioned about working with biking and putting in more bike racks and so on. Who keeps track and tabulates how many people are riding bikes and where they're riding them and how many we see downtown? Is there somebody that knows that answer? Does anybody do that?
I imagine that might be under Sandag's purview. I don't know offhand though, but that's something I can definitely look into for you.
I was just curious, you know, because if we're going to, everybody wants people to bike, but I don't know if they are, and now we have the rental bikes everywhere. And the
even Circulate San Diego. We can probably look into that as well.
It just seems like kind of a bigger conversation though too, but thanks.
It would be nice to have, if you wouldn't mind, track down how we keep track of those things. And Gary Smith knows.
As a point of information, Gary Smith, there is a system they use in Toronto on the bikeways that actually is able to separate out pedestrians from either motor-driven scooters or bicycles, and actually counts them on a real-time basis. And we're currently trying to raise funds through a foundation to install those same measuring things on all our bikeways in downtown.
That'd be great. Anything else?
Good luck.
No? With that, our committee is adjourned. Thank you.
All right.